Genesis chapter 26 and verse 24. And the Lord appeared unto him, Isaac, the same night, and said, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he, Isaac, builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. We've all heard the statement, like father, like son, or like mother, like daughter. It's not always true. There have been ungodly fathers who have had very godly children, ungodly mothers who have had very godly daughters. But in Isaac's case, there is an application. Isaac was the son of a famous father, very wealthy father. I notice in chapter 26 of Genesis that he faced his father's temptations. Every generation goes through the same testing. Verse 1 of Genesis 26, there was a famine in the land. You'll recall when Abraham faced a famine, he went down to Egypt, and apparently that's where Isaac was heading when God stopped him. In verse 2, he said, Go not down into Egypt, but dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. And so he sojourned in Gerar, which was on the border, but it was not Egypt. So he faced his father's temptations. Every generation goes through that. Unfortunately, Isaac repeated his father's sins. In verses 6 through 11, he lied about his wife. He didn't have to go down to Egypt to do that. He could lie right there in Gerar. In fact, we're going to discover that Jacob could lie right at home. Geography does not change character, does it? So he repeated his father's sins. And then in 12 through 22, he dug again his father's wells. And he got into trouble doing that. You see, God did bless Isaac. Verse 13 says that the man became great. He went forward and grew until he became very great. He had possessions of flocks and herds and great store of servants. But you know, blessings like this can bring burdens as well, and battles. I read at the end of verse 14 of Genesis 26, and the Philistines envied him. How about that? They envied him, and they created problems. In verse 16, they said, Go from us, thou art much mightier than we. And so Isaac departed, pitched his tent, and began to dig the wells that his father had dug, because these wells had been stopped up by the enemy. You know, every generation has to redig the old wells. Did you know that? And I noticed that Isaac gave the same names to the wells that his father had given to them. Every generation looks for something new. They think the older generation is stupid. They didn't know anything. Someone has well said that many of the problems in our world today are caused by people who have not read the minutes of the previous meeting. Isaac didn't make that mistake. He realized that he had to dig again his father's wells, and he ended up trusting his father's God. In verses 23 through 25, when God spoke to him, and Isaac called upon the name of the Lord. Now, there's a big difference between Isaac and Abraham. Isaac was a peacemaker. Now, Abraham was not a troublemaker, don't misunderstand me, but you don't find Isaac going out and fighting wars. Abraham did that. You find that Isaac did everything he could to keep on a good footing with his neighbors. Isaac had not read the book of Romans, but he followed the policy of verse 18 of chapter 12 of Romans. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Isaac dug a well, and the enemy took it over, so he moved. Isaac dug another well, and the enemy took that over, so Isaac moved. And finally, Isaac went up to Beersheba, and God spoke to him. Have you ever been a peacemaker and wondered if it was worth it? Have you ever really sacrificed? You said, all right, in order to keep peace in the family, or keep peace in the church, or the Sunday school class, I'll give in. You're like Isaac, a peacemaker. Isaac said, rather than stay here and create problems, I'll just move on. You notice the names of these wells in Genesis 26 backs this up. Verse 20, Ephek means contention. Verse 21, Sitna means hatred. Oh, can you imagine that? His neighbors creating contention and hatred. And so he just moves on. And the old enemy says to Isaac, uh-huh, your father was a fighter. Your father knew what belonged to him, and you're going to give up like this? The enemy has said this to you, hasn't he? You've kept quiet. You have not created problems. and the enemy comes and says, well, you're the loser. Oh, no, you're not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when you're a peacemaker. Don't be afraid when you're seeking to be a part of the answer and not a part of the problem, because God says to you, as he said to Isaac, Genesis 26:24, I am the God of Abraham thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. And I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. There are a number of assurances here that give peace to our hearts when we're afraid. Now, if you're afraid today, something's bothering you. You might be facing surgery. You might be wondering about family situations or the economy. I don't know. But you're afraid today. Now, listen to these assurances that God gives to us as he spoke to Isaac. First, he assures us that he is the God who does not change. God does not change. I am the God of Abraham, thy father. It's interesting to notice that the word father is used 6 times in this chapter. The name Abraham is used 8 times. Do you know that God dealt with Abraham as he dealt with Isaac? God dealt with Isaac as he dealt with Abraham. God had made a covenant. This is the first time we find in the Bible the phrase, the God of Abraham. If my count is correct, it's used 18 different times in the Word of God, the God of Abraham. You see, when he says, I'm the God of Abraham, thy father, he's saying, Isaac, don't be afraid. I was with Abraham, I'm with you. I talked with Abraham, I'll talk with you. I do not change. He is the God of each generation. He's called the God of Abraham here. In chapter 28, verse 13, he's called the God of Abraham and Isaac. When you get to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6, he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of each succeeding generation. He is the God who does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. Moses in Psalm 90 said that God had been their dwelling place through all generations. He's the God who does not change. That means his covenant doesn't change. His promises do not change. Now, your circumstances may change, but God doesn't. Your feelings may change, but God doesn't. People may treat you differently, but God doesn't. God is the same. That's the first assurance, and it takes the fear out of our heart. Now, the second assurance is this. God is with us. I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee. You will find that promise, that statement, over and over again in the Bible. Fear not, I am with thee. He is the God who is with us. Whenever I read the Gospel of Matthew, I notice that it begins and ends the same way. It begins with, his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. It ends with our Lord Jesus saying, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The eternal God is with us, says Psalm 46. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, God is with us in the circumstances of life. God never promised to shelter us from the circumstances of life. There are many people who want God to protect them from and not protect them in. And, of course, these people never grow. Isaac had to go through these circumstances in order to grow. God doesn't want his children to stay immature and unprepared for life. So he is the God who does not change. You can be sure of that. And he's the God who's with us. Even when we fail him, he's with us. He has said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. Now, it gets better because there's a third assurance in Genesis 26:24. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee. He is the God who blesses us. We can be sure of his blessing. There are 2 basic words in the Hebrew language for bless. One means to walk straight on. It's the one that's used in Psalm 1. Oh, the blessedness, or blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, I don't know of anywhere in the Old Testament where God uses that word when he speaks to us. The word he uses is the word used here, Barak. I will bless thee. It's the word Barak. It's used 415 times in the Old Testament. And the word basically means to kneel down, to praise. It's as though we are kneeling down and receiving from his hand. Now, it's interesting, these two words for bless, one means to walk and one means to kneel down. It reminds me of Ephesians. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies through Jesus Christ. Paul said, I bow my knee to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on in Ephesians to say, well, let's walk in harmony, let's walk in the light, let's walk in love. God blesses us that we might walk straight. But to get that blessing, we have to kneel down. We have to be submissive and receive from his hand. God does not change. Don't be afraid. God is with us. Don't be afraid. God blesses us. Don't be afraid. Now, these blessings are material and spiritual. God will bless you with everything you need. Now, he may not give you everything you want, but he will bless you with everything you need, materially, spiritually. He already has blessed us in Jesus Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and therefore we are rich in him. Don't be afraid. God blesses us. And finally, don't be afraid. God does all of this by grace. Did you notice in verse 24, I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Back in verse 5, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge. You see, Abraham received a covenant from God. God made promises to Abraham. God did not bless Isaac for Isaac's sake. He blessed Isaac for Abraham's sake. God did not bless Jacob for Isaac's sake. He blessed Jacob and Isaac for Abraham's sake. God's covenants are given for our blessing. But you know, he does it for Jesus' sake. God doesn't bless us, and God doesn't walk with us, and God doesn't keep us for our sake. He does it for Jesus' sake. That's Ephesians 1:3. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. Because of the covenant God has made with his Son, Hebrews 13 calls this the everlasting covenant. Because of the covenant God the Father has made with his Son, he will be true to us, and we don't have to be afraid. He does it all by grace. Now, I want to slip in here just a little word of counsel. You know, many of us are blessed because of our forefathers. I'm preaching the Word of God today because of an ancestor who used to pray, O God, may there be a preacher of the gospel in every generation of our family. Many times we are blessed because of the godliness and the faithfulness of our ancestors. Don't take that for granted. Some young people today take it for granted that they have everything they have. Well, it's because their parents were faithful to God. And if they're faithful to God, their children can enjoy the blessing. I just want to sandwich that in for the sake of some of you who may forget that God blesses us because of those who have gone before. He certainly did with Isaac. So we have no need to fear today. God does not change. God is with us. God blesses us. And God does all of this by grace. It's not by our merit or our just desert. It is purely and wholly by his grace. And you know, we ought to respond the way Isaac responded. Verse 25, he built an altar. That means worship and sacrifice and dedication. He called upon the name of the Lord. He prayed. He pitched his tent. He knew he was a pilgrim, and he dug a well, laying hold of that water of life that can come from God. There's no need to be afraid today, because God does not change. God is with you. God is blessing you. And God is doing all of it by grace, because he loves you, and he has accepted you in the Lord Jesus Christ.